It's time for the Catalyst Midweek Podcast, where we continue the conversation from this past week's message. Now, here's the guys.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Midweek Podcast, where we are continuing the conversation from this past week's sermon. Last week, Rodney Salee was the preacher, and this was his main thing. Faith is more about what you do than what we say. And he talked on a scripture from Mark 4. John, what did you think about this past week's?
It hurt, man.
Yeah.
Oh, it hurt because it was so good.
Yeah.
It's not often somebody comes and preaches, and as a minister on staff at a church, you feel cut to the bone.
Yeah.
You know? And just a little background on kind of what Rodney talked about. He spoke about the whole story of Jesus calming the storm. Mm-hmm. And basically, the idea of the disciples getting in the boat, going out on the Sea of Galilee.
Yes.
And storm hits, disciples freak out, they go down to Jesus, Jesus calms the storm. That was the scriptural basis for this. But then he talked about the storm he had to deal with in his life. And the way he handled it,
yes,
the way the grace in which he handled it,
mm-hmm.
The holiness in which he handled it was what blew me away.
Yeah.
Basically, his business, he owned an electric company. A company went around and installed an electric for places like Toyota,
mm-hmm.
and major companies and things like that. The man who was in charge of the finances had basically failed.
Yes.
They owed bills across the board. And because they owed all these bills, they were almost $200,000 in debt just to the
Crazy.
IRS. That's not including other companies where they had borrowed employees from and equipment from. That didn't include state mm-hmm. taxes that they were owed. They were about to have $9,000 garnished from their bank account.
Yeah.
And all the while, he's employing like 20 guys.
Yeah, they had trucks taken away. Like,
just it was insane.
Crazy,
it was insane.
Situation.
And yet, through all of that, Rodney was able to keep relatively calm. And that's kind of the direction he was going in this message, which I thought was really interesting. The whole idea of these problems being our storms. I mean, have you ever been through anything like that in your life?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've all, I think, gone through certain things. And I think we'll touch base a little bit more on our different stories. But one thing that I've learned through all of this is we all have storms. We all have situations. We're in a situation and we're like, this sucks.
Yeah,
this is miserable.
Absolutely.
I can't think of another time. I can't foresee this getting better. Like we're just like, it's going to be like this forever. That's what we feel like.
It's that whole, you know, we've talked about this before. It's that whole thing of Christianity is a marathon.
Yes.
It's not a sprint.
Yeah.
If you want to get into Christianity and think that things are going to happen quickly and that the moment you want something to be done, God's like at your beck and call and he's like, I'm going to do that. That's not how he works. He works in his time.
Yeah. We need to live our life with the end in mind.
Absolutely.
And we always forget that. And Satan he absolutely loves to be just a little roadblock in our life. But that for some reason, we always think that that roadblock, even though it's just a little bump, is this massive wall that we can't get over.
Oh, we see a mountain.
Or a mountain, yeah.
We see a mountain and it's a pebble, like laying in the middle of the road. But for us, it's like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
And it's amazing how those things don't really affect us over the long haul in a negative way.
Yeah.
If anything, they can be seen as positives because mm-hmm. of the way God works in those situations.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things about this whole thing that we talked about on Sunday was this this book that he was given by his daughter.
Yes.
And we actually had a question sent in asking the title of the book. It was called You'll Get Through This by Max Lucado. And it was given to him by his 19-year-old daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd just given him this book. And he was going through all these troubles. And things were falling apart. And I think he said it was like 2013 when all this was happening.
Yeah.
And he reads the first sentence of the first paragraph of the first chapter of the book, and it says this: you'll get through this. It won't be painless. It won't be quick, but God will use this mess for good. Don't be foolish or naive, but don't despair either. With God's help, you'll get through this. And he said right there, he just had to stop.
I love one sentence in this. but God will use this mess for good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many times in ministry, you've been in ministry a long time than I have, even a Christian a lot longer than I have, so you've been through a lot more situations, but how many times have you gone through a situation and then, like, 2 years, 3 years down the road, somebody else that you know is going through that exact same situation, and you get to come right beside them and say, look, I went through this, this is how I dealt with it, this is the scripture that I
absolutely
went with. It happens all the time.
And you know what else happens is when you're going through that, somebody tells you that. They say, don't worry, God's going to use us for good. And you just want to smack him in the head.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, why? I don't want to hear this right now. I want you to be mad with me. Yes. I want you to be angry with me.
Yeah.
You know, because even though, you know, we make a joke out of the pebble being a mountain, we really do think it's a mountain.
Yeah.
And so we see the situation and we're like, there's no way out.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way out. And you're trying to tell me this is good.
Yeah, I know.
What? I got a friend right now.
Yeah.
I got a friend right now who just found out the company that he works for is shutting down, I think at the end of this week or next week.
Yeah, before the end of the month.
And he has no job.
Yeah.
No job.
Yeah.
And I have a tough time looking at him and saying, but God will use this mess for good, because you don't want to hear that right now.
No, absolutely not.
But after hearing the message yesterday, I talked to him and he said, that was the exact thing he needed to hear.
Absolutely.
And I think it's for all of us. Yeah. I know for me, there's so many times in my life. I mean, when we planted Catalyst. Planted Catalyst back in 2008.
Yes.
I moved from Kenosha, Wisconsin to Nicholasville, Kentucky in September of 2007.
Yes.
And I came down only with the promise that we will eventually have paychecks.
Yeah.
That was it. Like,
yeah.
There were no paychecks. There was no money. And so I had to come down with this idea in mind that God will provide.
Yeah.
And for the first 6 months living down here, I was making $600 a month,
mm-hmm.
$600 a month, and I had $1,600 in bills.
Yep.
The decision was, do I put gas in the car so I can do ministry, or do I pay my student loans?
Yeah.
You know, do I eat, or do I pay my car payment?
Yeah.
Those were the decisions I was having to make, and it was a hard time.
Yeah.
But God provided. And I look back at it now and it really, that, it didn't really affect me.
No.
It really didn't. It was a hard 6 or 8 months, but that turned around.
Yeah.
And it seems like every time that happens with God. I think your situation when you first started at Catalyst wasn't a whole lot different,
no,
was it?
No, I had it better than you.
You actually did. You got a paycheck.
I got $150.
That's right, you did.
I did. So when I moved here, I moved from South Knoxville,
mm-hmm.
At Johnson University, moved to Nicholasville with the guarantee of $150 a week.
And you were married.
And I was married.
Yeah.
And my rent was $700. So I was getting paid less than my rent. And I remember having the conversation with Kaylee when you guys called me and asked if I wanted to be the youth minister here. Kaylee was just like, well, I guess we're going to Nicholasville. I said, yeah, I think so. And she goes, well, how is it going to work? I said, I don't know, but I think God will take care of us.
Yeah.
And I remember the conversations between us. Got heated a few times because we're like, okay, where is this money going to come from? But I was like, you know, I think God's going to take care of us. And every single time the money was there, still to this day, sometimes,
yeah,
I'm like,
I'm with you on that.
I don't, the bank account's a little bigger than it should be. I don't know.
How did this just happen?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't get
it. I'm right there with you. Well, another thing Rodney talked about in his message, and I just want to go back to this one little thing that was huge.
Yeah.
This guy who had taken all this money and just squandered it,
yeah,
for the business. They were out behind on all these bills and all these, mm-hmm, things. He had a secretary,
yeah,
who walked into the office and just walks into his office furious.
Yeah.
She goes, I don't know how you do this.
Yeah.
And he just looks at her and goes, how do I do what? And she basically says, how do you still give him a paycheck?
Yeah.
At that point, I think he hadn't been in the office for like months.
Yeah.
Like, hadn't even been in the office.
Hadn't even showed up.
Not even showed up at all. And he was still getting a paycheck. And Rodney's response was amazing.
Yeah.
Because his first point was, remember whose you are.
Yeah.
And he said, I am a child of God.
Yeah.
He said, I have to do this.
Yeah.
Because I'm God. I'm not God. That would be awful. But it was that he said, "I'm God's son. I'm an heir to God."
Yeah.
And because of that, I need to act that way. And so he had to realize, I'm still going to pay these bills. I'm still going to pay his paycheck, even though he doesn't deserve one because he's doing nothing.
Yeah.
But he did what he was supposed to do. And how many of us struggle with that when things get hard, to still continue to do what we're supposed to do?
Absolutely. I know whenever I'm in that situation, not in that situation.
Right.
But in a situation where I'm in a storm, what I do is I want to take as much control as possible. And I become very, very black and white. Yeah. Very matter of fact. If you're not doing your job, you're not getting paid.
Right.
Is what it is. And I'm like that a lot. That's what was so hard for me. When he brought that up, I was like, all right, thanks.
I think most ministers are control freaks to a degree.
A little bit.
I think you are, because you want to do your ministry, and you want to do it as best you can.
Yes.
But you want to be the one to be able to make those decisions.
Absolutely.
And I think anybody who owns a business is probably the same way.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. And so I guarantee Ronnie was struggling with that.
Yeah.
Even though he followed through, I still think he struggled.
Oh, yeah.
And I think anybody who's in any place of leadership, they want to be the one to make the call.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I couldn't imagine just having to give this guy his money.
I can't even. I know a little bit further down that story. It was around that same time. He really struggled. Right before, he really struggled with selling the business in general.
Yeah.
Because he felt like he failed as a man. He felt like he failed as a father. He felt like he failed as a leader because he was selling his business.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have we had something in mind? And you created something. It's yours. And it didn't go the way that you wanted it. But it's better for everyone that you go in a certain direction.
Right.
But it didn't go the way you planned.
Right.
How many times have you just like...
Oh. You know, they say one of the best signs of leadership is knowing when to end something.
Okay.
They say that's one of the best signs of leadership is knowing when to end something. So if, whether it's a program in a church, mm-hmm. It's maybe a division of a business or something. If it's not producing what it's supposed to produce, as a leader, you need to be okay with getting rid of that, even if you were the creator of it.
Oh,
even if you were the person who came up with the idea, you have to have the wherewithal to say, okay, enough is enough. It's got to end.
Yeah.
I think the interesting thing in this situation was God had just handed him this opportunity and said, I want you to take this because now you're going to be able to provide for your family without mm-hmm. the stresses of owning a business.
Yeah.
Now your employees are going to get paid and paid well.
Mm-hmm.
All these guys are going to be taken care of and there will be no more debt. I'm going to erase all of it.
Yeah.
And he struggled with it.
Yeah, I know.
But his 19-year-old daughter hands him this book by Max Lucado earlier on in the situation, then comes back later.
Mm-hmm.
I swear she must be a prophet because she's 19 years old and she's getting ready to go to Europe for like 6 months. And she looks at him and says, Dad, maybe you're looking at this the wrong way.
Sheesh.
And she just lays it out for him.
Yeah.
This is exactly what you wanted.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you've ever watched Shark Tank. You ever watched the show Shark Tank?
Yeah, absolutely.
And there'll be people that'll come in and they'll say, I need $150,000 for 10% of my company.
Yeah.
And one of the sharks will say, I'll give you $150,000 for 10% of your company, and they have to think about it.
Yeah.
And you're just like, you just got offered what you wanted.
Yeah.
And Rodney was in that situation.
Yeah.
And he was gonna back out of it.
Yeah.
And thank the Lord that his daughter DeAndra was there to say, don't do that.
Yeah.
So because of that, Rodney did exactly what God wanted, and now look, I mean, just things are so much better.
He mentioned in there that where you ask those prayers, where you say, God, take this from me. And he said, God will always answer your prayers. It just might not be in the way that you want it.
Absolutely.
And I think Rodney wanted God to answer that prayer, but allow him to keep the business.
Yeah.
But God had a different plan.
Absolutely.
Where he was going to erase everything, but he had to give up his business.
Mm-hmm.
And I know in our lives, we do that all the time. When we're in this storm, we're frustrated. We say, God, we give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
But hardly, at least in my life, I feel like hardly ever he answers it in the exact way that I want it to.
Never.
we could say never.
Yeah.
I could confidently say never.
Yeah. I think he loves that. I think God loves that because it's always a teaching moment for us.
Yes, every time.
Every one of these situations in our lives is a teaching moment. It's a moment for us to grow deeper,
yep.
to understand better that our needs
yes.
aren't provided by our means.
Nope.
They're provided by God.
Yeah.
And when we get to that understanding, and I like the fact that Rodney said when it all came down to it, he had to sell back the shares
mm-hmm.
to the other partner, even though that guy's the reason they went under.
Yeah.
He did it, and he said he did it because it wasn't his money.
It's not his.
It was God's.
Yeah.
And I think there's a freedom when we finally get to release that.
Yeah.
When the things that we own,
mm-hmm.
our homes, our cars, our big TVs, you know, yeah. all that stuff, it's not ours.
It's not ours.
It's not ours. It's God's. Our bank accounts, they belong to him.
Yep.
And when we get to that, there's some freedom in that, man.
Yeah, and you realize that God's ways are the best ways.
Oh, absolutely.
So much freedom. In seeking Christ and God in all things.
Absolutely. Well, guys, thank you so much for watching today. This has been the Midweek Podcast. Mm-hmm. Been excited to keep this conversation going with you. Tune in next week, and we'll see you then. Mm-hmm.